Hi everyone, this is Tim Herbig and welcome back to the Product Thoughts podcast. In this episode, I will talk about the main challenges product teams face when they try to adopt objectives and key results. So the big question is this: how can product teams that are caught up in the hamster wheel of building feature after feature and which don't have the buy-in to make evidence-based decisions? How can these product teams start to focus on what really matters? Identifying and solving problems that can change the behavior of customers in a way that helps the business thrive. That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My valued peer Büsra recently shared a very interesting observation with her network on LinkedIn. She was asking, why are companies using OKRs when I've heard only once in all of my conversations with many different people that OKRs actually work? I jumped in on the conversation with some high-level thoughts on the matter, and people seemed to find it interesting. I argued that teams started to use OKRs mainly because they were attracted by the shiny object syndrome of working like Google. And they also never take the time to define the actual reason why behind using OKRs and don't adjust the tool to the environment, capabilities or team skills, which, amongst others, are all things which can help you to iterate your way to using OKR successfully, cycle by cycle. But of course, that's only one half of the equation. Next to the general struggles companies might be experiencing with OKRs, there's another layer of complexity: making OKRs work for agile product teams who are already split up between product strategy, discovering new problems worth solving, and delivering solutions that help users and the business. Add the goal of focusing on outcomes instead of feature ideas to the mix, and it becomes pretty clear why so many product teams feel like OKRs don't work for them. In theory, using OKRs should be great news for product managers, because they can help you create more focus and align your efforts with the whole company. But in real life, I have seen companies struggling with issues like pre-planned OKR sets that already specify features and thereby leave no room for product managers to focus on behavior changes, or product managers who ask themselves how OKRs can be beneficial during discovery and delivery, instead of making them feel like a double effort. And there are product teams who simply wonder, how do OKRs, product strategies, and product roadmaps differ and affect each other? Now, as I said, my original comment to Büsra's post, I believe the root cause for many of these challenges lies in adopting other companies' blueprints. Because that doesn't even work for using OKRs independently. It becomes even more difficult when you try to combine it with the many individual ways your company tries to build products. But even with all these obstacles in their way, I believe that OKRs can add tremendous value to the way product teams focus their work, communicate their priorities, and structure their learning cycles. Here's some food for thought to use as a starting point to overcome these obstacles. Make sure that you create clarity on why you want to use OKRs in the first place. This way, it's way easier to explain the benefits to everyone involved and measure if they actually work based on those initial basic criteria, instead of just checking them against gut feeling. Also, if you want to use OKRs to actually focus on outcomes, make sure that you have a shared understanding of what outcomes actually mean and that you have the data and skills in place to identify and measure changes in behavior. I also highly recommend revisiting my podcast episode on leading and lagging indicators on that topic. You should also not try to simply add OKRs to the way you build products, but you should aim to make them a part of that. That means that you have to adjust the way you approach product strategy, setting up roadmaps, conducting discovery and delivery accordingly. And last but not least, make sure to regularly reflect not just on the OKR results, but also the way you use them. Derive action items for changing the way OKRs are handled in your product team and follow through. There's no universally right approach to implementing OKRs, especially not for product teams. And this way of thinking about using OKRs motivated me to co-create my new course, Outcome OKRs for Product Teams, together with the renowned coach and co-author of OKRs at the Center, Sonia Mewis. This course packs more than 40 video lessons, 15 hands-on exercises, and 10 ready-to-use templates. After completing the course, you'll feel confident that your day-to-day work effectively contributes to your company vision and product goals. And you'll know how to use OKRs to focus your work on outcomes instead of features. You can learn more about the course in the show notes. I hope this episode helped you a lot with questioning your own practices of using OKRs as an agile product team and provided helpful starting points for improving your own practice. Make sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts because it supports product managers like you in discovering content like this. Remember to also subscribe to the podcast to not miss out on future episodes, and I will speak to you soon.